The work that I do specifically is about having a dialogue with people and giving them a chance to change and to shift and to hold space for as long as they need in order for that to happen. As long as they're not getting in anyone's immediate way of food, shelter, water, physical safety, or freedom of movement, I'm like, you take all the time you need to like process this. And people hate me for it. They hate me for it.
You are listening to Made of Human, also known as the MoPod, a podcast hosted by Sophie Hagen, who is a Danish comedian.
MoPod.
Trying to find out
MoPod.
How to do life.
MoPod.
But it turns out
MoPod.
Nobody knows
MoPod.
Welcome to Made of Human. I'm Sophie Hagen. I am your host. I am still sitting in my kitchen. My dog Hank is still eating his breakfast and the washing machine is still cleaning all of my clothes because this is part two of the two-parter with Rain Dove, the gender nonconforming model, activist, entertainer, actor, producer. If you have not yet listened to part one, you're going to want to go back and do that right now. Good. You're back. Great. Now you're ready for part two. Please enjoy part two of my conversation with the amazing Rain Dove. I think there's something so... It makes me think about how the level that people are invested in public figures is like they're invested enough that a story about you... not having a degree is interesting enough that they can really, you know, suck it up and like, oh, this is, have you heard? What a horrible person. But they're not so invested that they would take the time to properly understand everything that came together to make this story. You know, I relate so hard to the, you know, people don't think I'm intelligent. How do I, you know, especially because that makes them doubt everything you say about yourself. And if that has been a struggle to find out who you are, then you even more want them to know that you do know. So I can totally, I mean, I often talk about how often I went, I mean, I went to university 7 times, only a couple of weeks per education, but still I'm like, I got into, you know, Russian studies. And
you were approved.
I was in the building. I mean, it was amazing. So I relate so hard to that, but it takes so much energy and time, maybe not time, but so much space. People have to be able to hold so much space for each other to properly accept that it's not as simple as they want it to be. And I wonder how it feels like it's so necessary to have that in our culture. And I feel like with the media we have today, which is all about, like, no one would write that as a story, right? No one would be like, oh, so Rain said that they went to the university, but then actually didn't actually graduate. And then they would explain it as, oh, well, it turns out, and then because, and there was some doubt and identity and intelligence because we are all ableist and classist. And
like, I would have to basically pay a media outlet to write an op-ed. I would have to, like, that's something that happens sometimes. So if people feel like they've been misunderstood or they want to get something out, sometimes the media will reach out and say, do you want to write an op-ed? Because they know it will be read. But sometimes, like, celebrities and individuals who have a lot of exposure will reach out to, like, a publication and say, I will pay you $1,000 if you let me write and publish an op-ed about the situation on your platform. And people do it all the time. And I've never pursued that avenue because I just didn't really, I didn't really feel like there was need to put excuses out in the world. I wanted to let people just process how they wanted to and to be mad. And that is what I was talking about with the filtering of the friends. What ended up happening was I found out who my friends were immediately. I have friends that came to me and said, I would love the context of this. And I had friends who said, and people who trashed me, people who trashed who I was like, oh my God, there was one person. I did this. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm working really hard not to name people.
Absolutely fine.
But I had this group chat and there was this project that I did and it was like such a beautiful project. And like, I took what little money I had as a nest egg and I invested it in the community and I, and this one person, a person who they needed to borrow $500, and I was really poor, and I was like, I'm going to give you the $500 because you need it, but you need to pay me back like in like the next 2 weeks, because this will help you with your rent, but I need help with my, that's my rent money. They didn't pay me back, right? They were like, I'm having a tough time, and I never nagged them about it. I helped them with their career. I even wrote them a personal letter of recommendation for them to get an art scholarship, which they did. And we cried together. I held them when their grandmother died, you know, like so many things. And the minute that article came out, they went into this group chat with like 30 other people. And they were like, so are we going to talk about this? And they basically like put the article in there, and they're just like, let me talk to you about the toxic things, like about Rain Tough, like to the group. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was like, do I even have the right to be angry? Of course I do. But like, do I have a right to act on that anger right now? Because this person's processing their own, you know, whatever. But it was totally a self-righteous move. Like it had nothing to do with actual healing. It might've had something to do with trauma, but the minute they saw that I had been bitten, they were like, let's start kicking people. Let's start kicking. And they were like reaching out to people individually being like, look, we need to like out Rain Dove for like, what other things has Rain done? Like, have they missed anything? Like, I'm just like, oh my God. Like they actively were like, I will murder you. And in that moment, I just saw there were people who, you know who reached out to me, and I'm going to name them because I thought they were amazing, was Peppermint. Peppermint sent me a text message and just said, look, I know I don't know the context of this, but I want to let you know I love you and like I'm here for you regardless. Nico Tortorella also reached out and was like, Rain, I love you. I got you. Like, if you ever want to talk about it, like, let me know. But like, you've always just been like a good person in my life. So like, I think like maybe 10 people did that, like individually, but no one spoke out on my behalf, like publicly. And like, I definitely lost like at least 50, 60 people in my life, including family members over that. It's a self-righteous thing of like,
but why, what is, I mean, sure. Okay. TMC, you can sort of say, yeah, not ideal, but we're talking about someone who slept with a minor. We're talking about giving a kid a case. And then we're talking about saying you had a degree that you don't. Who gives a shit about degrees, honestly? And then like the
well, yeah, you know, okay. And off from that, to be honest, like people only hired me for certain talks because they thought I was intelligent enough to give the talk. And they
would then you gave the talks and they were fine, right?
Yeah. And I did never got a bad review.
Yeah.
But the degree made me more quote unquote eligible.
Yeah.
So I profited off from that lie, you know?
Yeah, of course. But what is that based on? That's based on a very classist system and a very elitist system, because we know that education is not a completely equal system. Like it's, yeah. If you have any kind of mental health issues, or if you're poor, or if like, there's so many reasons why school is not the best way that you can live your life. And that doesn't mean that you're less likely to, I mean, if you were lying about, I don't know, being a lawyer, and then you were, you know, taking people to court and losing their court cases. Yeah. Huge problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but I've never lied about my identity.
Yeah.
I wasn't qualified to talk about my identity. People thought, and especially since people already think models are stupid, you know, and also people are like, you deserve the abuse because you don't have to model. It's not an essential job, but you're doing it and you're self-righteous enough to think that you're attractive. And therefore you're asking for any of the abuse we give you. This is a really common thing. A lot of people are like, well, you as a celebrity, you don't have to do this. You like, you do this because you think so highly of yourself. Well, let's see how high you really are. And so there's this weird kind of like, thing. It's kind of like when you're a comedian and you go out to do a job and then people heckle you because they're like, well, you didn't make me laugh. Like, you think you're so funny. Like, there's this weird kind of egotistical thing that happens in people's minds where they're like,
so interesting, because I, this is going to sound like I'm not making any sense, but when I was like 15, 16, 17, I had this intense hate for beautiful people because I hated myself so much that anyone who was beautiful, I was just like, oh, they're so fake and blah, blah, blah. And to the extent where I wrote an essay about Snow White or Cinderella or something, and the whole thing was just me being like, oh, she thinks she's so pretty. Like, ugh, the prince only kissed her because she's beautiful, that whole thing. And my teacher clocked this and went, I think you have an issue. And she said that I had to write an essay called something like The Difficulty of Being Beautiful. And I was like, ugh, this is the worst. But it made me then sit down and have a chat with all of my friends who were conventionally attractive. And I said, like, is there anything that's hard about being beautiful? And at first they were all like, no, it's great. Like, nothing. Because they wouldn't say it because no one wants to talk about that that can be an aspect. Because of course there's beauty privilege. Of course there is. But a lot of them, when I finally did get an answer out of them, a lot of their answers were, you know, things like, well, no one trusts me to be alone with their partners and people think I'm unintelligent and people can think they can be mean to me because they just assume that I have super high confidence and that I'm arrogant and stuff like that. And I haven't really thought about that till now, that of course part of the reason that you seem to be like extra prone to people wanting to attack you is that model, like conventionally attractive, public platform, like all of that is like threatening to people. They perceive it as threatening, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also the thing is, like, I want to dedicate my life to doing good, and people are like, well, Lati fucking die, isn't it? And what ends up happening is like, for instance, if I don't post a lot about like volunteer work and stuff like that I do, because when you say that you're volunteering, what people see is not you are doing good. They see I am like them. Like, they're like, they look at themselves and they say, I'm not doing good. I'm not a good person. I can never measure up. I'm a bad person. So they get triggered not to like see you like, you know, as a person who's contributing positivity, but they feel like a bad person because they're not contributing in the same way. And so this, there becomes a need to, in order for equality to exist, for them to balance it out and say, well, they may be doing good there, but here's where I'm better than them. Because otherwise they just feel inferior or they feel poor. And one of the things is like charity comes and volunteer work comes in a lot of different ways. Beauty comes in a lot of different ways. Love comes in a lot of different ways. It's not really meant to be compared. But the reason why people do it obviously is because we want to feel like we're doing the right thing. And so it is hard to, quite interesting. Like, psychologically, I totally get it with people. In fact, some of the most like revered people on the planet are people who are openly flawed, and people are like, we love them for that. Right. Even like Betty White is a good example. Everyone's like, Betty White can't do any wrong, but Betty White, you know, did this whole entire show where, you know, Betty White cursed and hung out with Snoop Dogg and like tried to show that they are not like just a sweet, stereotypical grandparent type figure, that they are edgy. And we see that with people all around the world, like who are just lifted up and revered because they're so like, they're like openly faltering, and they do it intentionally. It's almost like baiting their audience with badness, like bad baiting. You know, they're like, if they have a lot of good happen in their life, then they have to add in like an element of tragedy or an element of like controversy, because what ends up happening is like, if you keep going up and up and up and up and up and up and up, the fall becomes much harder and very difficult to recover from. So people who want long lasting fame, the best thing you can do is be open about, like, yes, success, success, success. And the key is you never promote that you've made it. You always say, I'm so close to the big day, right? So people are always feeling like they're cheering for somebody who's on the brink of success, on the brink of whatever. And then like after you are like, I'm on the brink, you know, you then share a success that you have. People feel like their time was worth it. They're like, yes, we made that happen through our support. Yes. But then you're not allowed to sit in that success for too long. The next problem must come along, whether it's a tragedy happened in your life or you're going on a journey or you have to figure something out. And people are like, oh my gosh. Well, they're just so human. And that's why I like them. And then the climb begins again. It's a very psychological but fucked up truth. Like, that is how publicists and PR companies build celebrities. They're like, they're the underdog. They made it because of you. Oh, their life is still tough again. Oh, they're kind of still the underdog. Oh, we're building. Oh, they made it. I don't know why I'm talking about
this.
Oh
my God. No, that's so, again, million questions. Okay. So first of all, that is so like mind blowing because what I did in my sort of, in my career, I had a period where I was sort of like, became very aware of social justice and all the things that you needed to do correctly. And I did a whole tour that had all the venues were wheelchair accessible, all the toilets on the tour were gender neutral. I had anxiety safe venues so that people, if they had any anxieties, they could come in and, you know, get their, whatever it was, you know, get into the room before the rest of the audience came in, or maybe they had to ask about certain triggers. The show had a trigger warning. And I was like, every single, you know, request I got, I tried so hard to make sure that no one felt left out. And what happened from that was like one of the worst years in my career that I've ever had. It was everything I said, everything I did was wrong. And it was, people were furious. You invited
people to give you feedback. And then what ends up happening is people kind of are like, oh.
But it was things where like people would, it wasn't as much about what people, you know, because I'm always okay with being called out and stuff. And then you always go, oh yeah, sure, of course, I'll change that. But some of the things were like people being very aggressive and angry and like disproportionately making you sound like, oh, hang on, am I the person who created capitalism? I'm not, you know, people saying that I shouldn't do any venues where, it was something about sound. It was something like a very specific way of that, like a comedy show couldn't function with this. It was not having laughter or applause because it could be triggering, which I get. Like, I totally get. That's why people do these quieter shows. But I was like, I can't do an entire stand-up tour and tell people not to make any sound. You know, that just doesn't work. Anyways, that's not the point. Is it became very hard to be me because suddenly people put me on this pedestal and it felt like I had built it. It felt like I had said, look at me, I'm on this pedestal, I'm doing everything right. And like reviewers in my career, reviewers, producers, all of that, people just stopped seeing me as a comedian because they were like, oh, too self-righteous, too much about social justice.
Yeah, we tend to submit, we tend to dismiss people who try to do the right thing almost more so than people who we know are doing the wrong thing.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I did. So I made a decision to be like, no, you know what? I can absolutely not have people thinking that I'm perfect because that has never been my thing. I don't want people to think that I'm good. I want people to think that I'm trying to do good. And that's a very big difference. So I started talking more openly about being flawed and especially about my past and like having been a full-on misogynist and having been so problematic. And you know, because I also believe that everyone is like, no one's perfect, no one's good, you know, we all have so many flaws and we are all still incredibly,
we're all growing, we don't allow for the growth process, you
exactly
know?
But I think you need to show some flaws in order to have that happen, right? Mm-hmm. Or would you not say so?
Yeah, I don't even know if things are flaws. That's the thing. It's like sometimes I look at the faltering of people and it's not even that people are flawed. It's like, for instance, when people use the wrong gender pronoun or whatnot, oftentimes they're not even doing it intentionally to like upset anyone. It's they, you know, they're dealing with decades of social conditioning and brainwashing and things like that. And, you know, when parents don't immediately accept their kids, I mean, it's not that they're rejecting their kids, it's that they're rejecting the possibility that maybe they did something wrong or they're rejecting themselves and their own parenthood. And by accepting their children, they have to accept that maybe they did something that, you know, shifted their child away from conventional existence. And there's just, I believe that people make mistakes. Sometimes people make poor choices. Like, you know, we have to own it. Not everything that we do is a mistake. Sometimes we just make bad decisions, bad choice, and we jump into it. And I think, I don't know. I just think that like, the work that I do specifically is about having a dialogue with people and giving them a chance to change and to shift and to hold space for as long as they need in order for that to happen. As long as they're not getting in anyone's immediate way of food, shelter, water, physical safety, or freedom of movement, I'm like, you take all the time you need to like process this, you know? And people hate me for it. They hate me for it. They're like, no, hard line. I'm like, okay, so what do? You murder all these people? Everyone who doesn't think like you? Guess what? Ironically, that's what what you accuse these people of doing is wanting to murder you, silence you, make you think the way that they think, convert you to being straight, convert you to being cisgendered. And what you're doing is you're reflecting your trauma back at them and saying, no, you will think the way that we do, or we will end you. You won't work just like queer people, trans people couldn't work. You will not be able to feel safe walking out of your home just like we couldn't feel safe walking out of our home. You will not be able to exist on this planet. It's over for you. And I'm like, you know, at some point, it's like people are allowed to be angry. And I think that rage is a very powerful tool and a powerful form of activism actually is anger. I think anger is great. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we're not looking for change. We're looking for revenge. And at some point, we're not trying to empower. We're trying to be in power, which is a much different thing because these people have been wrestling power away from us since the beginning of our species' time and existence. So we have to think about, you know, do we want equality or do we want to get even? I mean, we have to figure out what our end goal is. And if our end goal is truly to have an integrated world, then we need to integrate. I'll have one other little mini tangent, but like the other day, I think yesterday, actually, oh my gosh. But yesterday, COVID. Yesterday, I posted on my page that like, I'm going to make January 11th Ally Appreciation Day. People were pissed. Why? You don't thank allies for doing the bare minimum? Yes, you fucking do. I think so. I think that allyship comes in all forms. I think that people have sacrificed financial security, family, friends, and safety to fight for us, not just in the streets, but in our workplaces, in our homes, in our relationships. And also Ally Appreciation Day is a day for us to appreciate our space as allies to other people. Because what happens is, as marginalized people, we end up not advocating for other intersectionalities because we feel like we get a get out of jail free card just for being like, I'm too consumed by myself and my own hardship. And it's like, sometimes we are, and that's fine, you know, operate within your own capacity. But Ally Appreciation Day would be about us writing thank yous to the people in our life who have stood by us and for us and with us, and taking a moment to commit to at least one other cause outside of something specifically you centered. So like, that might mean that this is the year you're going to fight for like, rights in India. This is the year you're going to fight for Black people. This is the year, like, you should fight for these people all the time. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be able to do it all, but there's a lot of causes out there and we tend to just be really narrow-minded. And we oftentimes only advocate for ourselves or for what's popular because the community in it, is like the, you know, the prowess.
There's a difference between the shoulds and then the reality, you know. It's the same as you said, like, yeah, in theory, we should be using our platforms to talk about all of the causes and all of the people, but we also know that if we do that, then none of them will get any support because people will get tired of it. In the same way as you can say, yeah, of course there shouldn't be an ally day because allies should just do it automatically and all the time, and it's the bare minimum, but also that's not how things work. You know, people, it's very hard for people to do, you know, to speak up on behalf of a group because people don't like conflict or for whatever other reason. So having an ally day could also encourage people to be allies, and that is how we get to the end goal. But so there's a very big difference between this is how everything should be and then this is how things unfortunately are. I wonder if you hold the same space for the thing about, you know, having letting people process and understanding that people are in a certain space, and Do you hold that for the people who get angry with you as well, who point out that, you know, well, let's just end them, and let's just not, you know, who want to be in power instead of empowering?
Well, I kind of rate people based off from their action. You know, it depends on what people's intentions and actions are and executions of those actions. If I think that somebody's a threat, you're going to have to put them in timeout. It's just the way that it goes, you know, because my idea of world peace is not that everyone thinks the same. It's that everyone stays out of each other's way of food, shelter, water, physical safety, and freedom of movement. People have the right to say what they want to say, but there becomes a point where our language is a call to action to do certain things that could impede other people's rights to, you know, the physical safety, food, shelter, water, freedom of movement. For instance, like trying to make it so that nobody can, if you're trans, that you can't transition, right? Like that, the whole entire, like, you can't transition. It's like, and then they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm allowed to have an opinion. It's like, no, that's not an opinion. That's a call to action to end somebody's right to freedom of movement. And that in itself is violence that we should definitely talk to you. But you can say that you don't feel comfortable with trans people, or you don't like trans people. I mean, you're kind of disenfranchising yourself a little bit because you haven't met them all on the planet. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that'll do great things in your life that, or could do great things in your life, that are trans. But, like, you know, there's a difference between saying I personally have a problem, like I'm uncomfortable, versus I will tell you how to exist so that you can make me comfortable, you know?
I still have a million questions, but we don't have, I've already run over with you.
Yeah. You and I could talk for a long
time. I know.
We're very,
I've only asked you like three of the a million questions. So, but I will, let me think. There was one more thing I did want to ask you. Oh yeah. So as sort of like before I ask the last question, this is like a sort of summary, like, how are you feeling now? Is there anything you feel like you wanted to say that I didn't ask you, anything you wish I would have asked you, like, where are you now after we've had this long sort of all over the place conversation about some pretty deep things?
I feel good. I'm really stoked about our friendship. I think that we're going to have so many conversations together. This is just the beginning. It's really cool. I imagine we'll probably do some creative projects. So it'll be really fun to be silly with you and kind of like, chaotic. And I'm feeling grateful, happy. I feel good that we can like have a conversation that goes over such a giant breadth. It really is a testament to how much things have shifted over the year that I was able to talk about what happened in December and to not cry. Cause I actually just a couple months ago did not a couple months ago. Oh my gosh. In February.
COVID. Oh wow.
In February. I went on a live radio show and this person surprised me and like grilled me on the thing and I bawled and on like New Zealand public radio. I was like a mess in the studio and I left being like, and she was just like, thank you so much for coming. And like, I hope that you have a good day. She was so nice. Oh. And I'm like, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh,
so I feel like, I don't know. I feel really reaffirmed that I'm on the right path and that things are cool. I would say there was one thing that I'd love to plug. I have an amazing partner. Her name is Kelsey Ellison. She's absolutely stunning. And we just recently did a project together that's going to come out within the next month. And it could really use some support because it could change people's lives. But like in the entertainment industry. So, you know, change people's lives in the entertainment industry. So essentially, basically, there's a book called The Darker Shade of Magic. It was written by...
The what? The darker?
Oh, A Darker Shade of Magic. Oh,
yeah.
And it was written by a queer author named V.E. Schwab, who is absolutely incredible. The book is being adapted into a film and it got picked up by Gerard Butler's production company. They are finishing up the adaptation and they're about to go into casting next year. And one of the main characters in this book, has a glass eye in their right eye and they look, I will send you photos after this. It's insane. They look exactly like my partner and my partner also has a glass eye in the same eye. like, and they look exactly like when you see, you'll be like, oh my gosh, it's her. But because of the way that film in Hollywood works, oftentimes they'll attach someone who's an amazing, like Zendaya is an amazing actress. It would make sense for them to cast someone like Zendaya because you need a big ticket name in the casting room or whatnot. But there's like three main characters. Any of the other people could be a big ticket name. What ends up happening is they'll cast someone like Zendaya and then they will have her fake having a disability. So they'll give her a glass eye. What we want is we want them to give at least an audition to someone who actually has that disability, who has acting credentials, who looks like the character. And if they decide it's not right because their acting is off, don't just have whatever, but don't appropriate a disability without giving people who experience that disability the first chance. Sometimes the talent just isn't there, but in this case, the talent is there. They're amazing. So this is what we did. I have a motto, which is stop waiting for people to save you. They're not coming. Save yourself. We got you, like 100%, right? I had to realize that when I was homeless. Like I woke up one day and I was cold and I was wet and I had to go stand out by like a Starbucks, and the Starbucks wasn't open. I was freezing, and I just realized in that moment no one was coming. So I got to work. I made a choice in that moment to stop waiting, and I've occasionally slipped back into waiting, and I have to snap myself out of it and be like, stop it. Stop waiting for someone to discover you. Discover yourself. Get to work. Do it. Which is a tough thing to say when you have depression like I do. So it's like a thing. I was like, okay, you know what we need to do? We need to get you discovered. Instead of waiting for people to just like, you know, submit you to a casting agent, and she doesn't have an agent or whatever, fancy enough to get her in. She doesn't have a publicist or any of that stuff. I'm like, we're going to make something and hopefully that thing will be viral enough to get noticed. What it is we made a fake movie trailer that looks fucking good. I mean, I've saved up money and I poured it into our community. We have top of the line VFX. We have top of the line, like green screen. The camera is gorgeous. Created music by a very talented composer. We have stunt scenes. We have multiple locations, and the entire cast is queer or trans, like in the entire thing. And it is the most elaborate like audition tape ever. And when we put it out, our goal is for people to think that it's the actual trailer for the movie.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Oh, I'm like goosebumps. I love stuff like that. That's amazing. When is it coming out?
It's coming out this month. I will give you a date once we have a date. But I know that because the author, as we made the project and we were showing behind the scenes stuff, the author of the book has written to us every day that we were on the shoot. She's a huge advocate. She shares Kelsey's stuff all the time, but she's not in charge of casting. But she's a big, like, go get them. I know if we work together as a community, like I know that this could not just change Kelsey's life. I know it could. I know, like, if everyone just took the 5 fucking seconds to click and reshare, it not only could change her life, but because everybody in that, I went and scoured the community to make sure that like the castings aren't unrealistic. They look like the people in the book. They're just queer or trans people. I just know that like it could open up a bigger conversation with Hollywood that like you can cast us and the story doesn't have to be queer or trans, if that makes sense. Like It doesn't have to be a trans story. You could just cast trans actors and like, that's not their conversation, dialogue or struggle. They have sex, they do their things, they have a life, and it's not even a conversation. You just cast those actors. Same thing with like queer actors. It's like, we don't just need queer roles. I can be dead body number 17. I could be baker around the street. I could be Uber driver, you know, like we don't have to be like this, you know, Hillary Swank or Precious, kind of like hyper-focused on our trauma thing. We can be casually incorporated. And I think that's actually the most important type of, you see it a lot in comedy, actually. Comedy does a great job casually incorporating us into storylines, but we're always the butt of the joke, which is like annoying. But yeah, anyway, that's the project. That's the
thing. That's amazing. Oh, I'm so excited for that. Can I, I'm going to add like one more question before the end. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I just want to ask about the, I just want to ask about power. The word power comes to me because with your platform and you doing so many things, it just sort of struck me that you probably have now more power than you have ever had in your life to do something, which both comes from the platform, the whatever privilege, luck, whatever you want to call it. How does that feel? Does that also make you feel guilty, or is that sort of a nice feeling? You can do something.
It feels good and terrifying. I haven't always been great at following through, and I on like long-term projects, like big projects. So I've been really good at doing little things. Like I can execute a one-day thing. I can, and I've been slowly working up to films, and I've just barely shot a film series, like another film series. And I've been working on these things, but I had the breakthrough the other day where I realized like I don't invest in bigger long-term things because I never thought I would live this long. So I tend to invest in immediately gratifying or short-term projects that I'm pretty sure I'm going to live to be able to experience and enjoy. And I haven't done that, sat down and said, what's my 5-year plan? And what's the big thing I want to do? The big thing, like, how do I make that happen? So I have a lot of projects that I started and just never really finished because it seemed too long-term of an investment. And I'm like, I'm not going to live to enjoy that. So I'm just moving on, throw my energy elsewhere. This year, coming to the end of this year, I do have a project that I want to do. It is longer term. And I also have some political things I want to do that are long-term investments. And I do feel very powerful. And I do feel like I have I've had to travel a lot in order to get to this recognition. I didn't always feel like I had the right to have power because I just always knew that like, there were other people out there who maybe are struggling more and deserve to have it, or maybe they have a clearer head on their shoulders, or they haven't fucked up, you know? This year, I realized like I'm treating power like it's a finite thing, that there's only a little bit of it. And like, you know, I there's only one stage with one microphone. But really, everyone's got a stage and everyone can have a microphone and we can all be heard and we can all hear and we can all listen and we can all talk. And we all have our own space. And so I'm going into 2021 with some big visions and some big asks. And I know that ultimately I won't feel guilty about the amazing things that we're going to do, you know? Good.
The very last question is this. I always ask it. So can I ask how old you are?
31.
Okay, so you're 31.
If you believe that time exists at all.
You're in the delivery room and you have just been born. So you now, you're in the delivery room and teeny tiny, yes, exactly like that. Teeny tiny Rain has just been born and they're crying, right? Because they were just in the womb. It was all nice and warm and dark. And now they're out and there's like lights and sounds and people. And it's all very scary and it's too much. And you hold little Rain and they're looking at you like, what the fuck is this? Is this what life is? Is life just going to be a bunch of sounds and light and gunk? And I'm greasy and bloody and everything's horrible. And you know what the next 31 years of their life is going to be like. You know exactly what the next 31 years is going to be. Nothing can change. You can't give yourself advice or anything like that because they're going to forget it in a few minutes and everything will happen exactly the way it has. But for that one moment, you can answer their question, which is, what's this going to be? What is this going to be? You know that it's going to be lights and sounds, but it won't be lights and sounds. It'll be homelessness and identity questions and platforms and all of these things. And you can say something to yourself, to little tiny Rain. What would you say to little baby you?
Little baby me? Oh. Okay. I would tell them that true love is chosen love, and you and people will choose to love you, even if it seems impossible.
That's beautiful. Do you still need to be told that?
Sometimes, yeah. I think always. You know, I think sometimes we try to salvage relationships that we act like if our relationship isn't happening now, then it will never happen again. And we don't give people time to have space in orbit or to leave and return. So oftentimes we end up in toxic dynamics with people, or we fight really hard to figure things out when the only thing that can help people figure things out is themselves and their space. Sometimes when I have a person right now in my life who they're an amazing person, leave space open for each other. I gave them some feedback on some of the ways that some of their actions were impacting, not just myself, but a group of people that we were in, and we held space for them, but they were really they're really upset about that feedback. And so I just, every day, I just let them know, like, I love you. And there's no time limit. You come back when you're ready, when you want to, if you want to. And then I just let it be, you know? But it's hard not to, because my instinct is to be like, I know that you made poor choices, but I'm going to beat myself down so that way you don't feel inferior. So my instinct when people are struggling is to relate by being like, I'm a bad person too. I struggle too. I'm blah, blah, blah. And what ends up happening is sometimes I can create bonding, but oftentimes it just creates this, it can create toxicity of self-worth. And I just know that, like, in this moment, they know who I am. They know my past, and they know I have good intentions. And I don't need to beat myself down in order to lift them up. I need to let them lift themselves. And instead of, like, carrying somebody on my shoulders, I need to just leave the door, yes, closed, but unlocked, and ask them to do the simple task of turning the door handle to walk in. The door handle being an apology. You know, that is the key that unlocks the door. They have the key. It's right there. But it's torture. It's so hard. I just want to run after them in the rain and go, wait, wait.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. Can you plug your stuff? Plug all of, we've got the video when that comes out.
Yes.
If I don't see it automatically, make sure you ping me somewhere so I can.
I shall ping you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what else do we need to get from you? Where can we find you? What else do you have?
Okay. All my platforms, Rain Dove Model, which is cool. I am doing a free talk for, if you're a parent, and you're having a hard time with your kids or their identities or what's going on, especially in the LGBTQ world, for free. I will talk with you on Fridays. So feel free to come out. There's no question that will be judged. I will not tell you that your religion is wrong or that you're a bad person. Like, I'm just here so that you can have a better understanding of what's going on, because you deserve to have a shared love and bond with your child. That shouldn't go away just because you're confused. No questions off tables or off limits. I also have a holiday series coming out this month from the 14th to the 25th, in which it's completely cast by intersectional LGBTQ members of the community. Why? Because I fucking can. Why are you so obsessed with the community? Because I can be. Go away. It's a holiday rom-com series. We actually feature diverse individuals who come from all walks of life and have all different aesthetics and presentations and experiences. And we did it. It's going to be one video a day for 12 days. You can go watch it on my Instagram, IGTV, which would be really cute. I also have, I have a couple of other little things in the works, but I do have another episode of a sci-fi series, which we had to put on pause last year because COVID hit. And I think I predicted, like, our life, it was too close to what we were experiencing. So I stopped putting it out because I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to trigger people. But it's called Queers Without Fears. It is a sci-fi it's like a post-apocalyptic sci-fi series. It's completely crap. I love it. it's awful. It's great. It's basically like a mixture between a talk show, but also with like SWAT teams, guns, lasers, explosions, dance routines, and chaos. And we do things like, the last episode was about TERFs and trans people. And we put real TERFs and real trans people in, a space locked in a bunker together, and we had them act out a scenario, and then they had a real conversation in the midst of this scenario. And there's all the things you want to see. Feelings on both sides that are valid. Feelings on both sides that are what? Then there's fighting, there's yelling, there's screaming, there's hugging, there's a musical number. And it's all filmed on one camera by one person, docu-style. Is it great? I'm not going to tell you how to feel about it.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this. Because I talked for so long with Rain Dove, I did not do a special little bit at the end, but I usually do that with most of the people I talk to, and I will eventually do this with Rain. If you want to get special behind-the-scenes recordings, go and head to Patreon now and sign up to get discount codes and my stand-up shows for free and extra bits of conversation with people. Also join, of course, in order to just support the podcast and help contribute towards the transcripts, the editing, the equipment, software, domains, all the hours that go into this. And of course, in order to keep it ad-free, go to mopod.com/donate. That's mohpod.com/donate. And if you like this episode or the podcast in general and you felt like it gave you something, you know, it's maybe given you company or nice feelings or made you think, make sure you go and like, share, retweet, give it a 5-star review on iTunes, tell a friend, and please go and find the guest and thank them for being a guest on this podcast, because it means a lot to me. And to all of us, I would assume. A special thanks to the following Patreon heroes: Amy Melody, Anastasia Graf, Andrea Carbo-Ruggin, Andy Walker, Anna-Marie Hepburn, Barry Norton, Beth Payton, Cherry Windsor, Claire Fletcher, Daniel Reifershield, Danielle Johns, and Deborah Cody say, Dieter Brunberg Jensen, Emma Chan, Fenella Dunn, Privacy Osaurus, and Robert Terra Tubbs, Galway Cass, Georgia, Harold Van Dyke, Harry Minot, Helen Jeriner, Isabel Johnston, Joe C., Catherine Williams, Katie Hatfield, Katrina Pillerson, Kirsten E., Kirsten Davidson, Lindsay Bushniak, M. Dash, Maeve Houlihan, Maury Fraser, Megan Roberts, Paul Swaddle, Pierre Fenneux, Rachel Furley, Ragdoll, Rianne Rivers, Robert Knowles, Robin Cabba, Ruth Flory, Samantha Kitson, Sarah Allard, Sarah Pluma, Sheena Machette Cole, Simon James, Victoria Greer, Victoria Layton, and Zoe Stephenson. If you want your name shouted out and probably mispronounced at the end of the episode, and also if you want to be permanently etched into my brain, I will never forget the names of you people on this list. You could wake me up in the middle of the night and just be like, Patreons! And I'd be like, Amy Melody, Anastasia Graf, Andrea Carbo-Ruggin, Andy Walker. And it'll always be in my brain now. If you want to be one of those people, go join the Patreon and check out how mopod.com/donate. Thank you so much to Rain for being an amazing guest. Thank you to Dave Pickering for editing this episode, Harriet Brain for writing and recording the jingle, and to Justine McNichol for the logo. Speak to you next Wednesday. Bye!